Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. So, are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Are you really ready for the Word of God? You know, as I was studying this, you know, my title is It's Our Time. But when I did that, I just began to get a flux of, you know, when you say it's our time, and because of the culture that we're living in now, you know, I'm a black man, okay? You can see that, you know? And most people would say, they getting ready to take over. Nope, that ain't what I'm saying, okay? Let me give you the rest of it. It is our time to be persistent in prayer, okay? It's not a culture thing. It's not a black or white. I'm not trying to promote anything but the kingdom of God, okay? So we can clear the minds of those that are watching and those that are here that, you know, I'm not trying to promote, you know, no certain race, okay? I'm all about the kingdom, amen? I just happen to be born black, okay? All right. So with that said, let's go to Luke chapter 18. And you know, how many know the Bible commands us to pray for those that are in authority? You know, so that we will have a peaceful life. Okay. But we're going to be talking about prayer this morning, you know, and when I was praying about the message, and this I was reading, you know, and you know, I was reading this scripture, and all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit began to, show some light on this verse, on these verses that I'm going to read to you. You know, it says, and now he was telling them a parable to how that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. How many would agree that a lot of people are losing heart now? You know. But the reason why we're losing heart many a time is because we won't pray. It's found in the scripture. He just said that now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. I mean, you know that when we're in prayer, it connects us to God. See, you know, and you can't go around saying, well, you know, I don't feel like it. You know, I'm not excited about it. I mean, you know, prayer, you don't have to feel. You don't even have to be excited about it. Just do it. And there's results that come after. Okay? Because when you read the Bible, do you not know there's only, the disciples only asked Jesus one thing to do, to teach them to do, and that was teach us to pray. And I believe because the reason why they were asking Jesus to teach them to pray, for this simple fact, because when they would see Jesus go away and pray, and he would come back to their presence, things begin to happen. Miracles begin to happen. Now, they happen all the time, but when he would come back, there was such a manifestation of the presence of God to where I believe the disciples begin to say, now, you need to teach us to pray. Because we realize now when you go off to pray and come back, there are some supernatural things that begin to take place. Now, I'm going to throw this at you so you chew on this. You know, but do you realize there is nothing that can happen in the earth if the church don't pray? Positive. We see a lot of negative stuff in the earth. You say, what do you mean by that? Because Jesus told us this. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Amen. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, what he was saying is this. What has already been bound in heaven, the church can bind it in the earth. What's already been loosed in heaven, the church can loose it in the earth. And what we fail to understand many a times, that we are representatives of the kingdom. We are God's representatives. We represent him. We are ambassadors of Christ. See, but as long as we hold it to the four walls of the church, well, you know, I'm just a Christian that go to church and, you know, we sang these songs and we're so happy and we just love hearing, you know, somebody tell us what the words say. How many know that's good and done with, but how many know you are a representation of Christ? That's why we can't afford to mess this time up. See, Corona stopped us from coming into four walls. It stopped all those sports events. It just put the whole world on hold and lockdown. But guess what? The church is still going. The church is still as powerful because we're not confined to a building. We are the building. We are the house. Amen. And how many know that when we read this parable, I will begin to look at this. It's really a prophetic word for the church. Because the widow or the woman represent the church. And the unjust judge represents the devil that's trying to hold back what's legally been given to us by the cross. And we have to understand that it is our time to persevere into prayer. Because what's going to happen when the church begin to pray, things are going to begin to happen. Mark my word, when the church begin to pray, see, it wasn't, you go back and research history, revival never came until people got serious about prayer. Things never change till people got serious about prayer. And when I mean people getting serious about prayer is their lifestyles begin to change. And the presence of God begin to hover them until the place to where they begin to go out among the world and they begin to see something in them that they didn't have. And they begin to say, I want some of that. But as long as flesh is lording and parading itself and trying to entertain us, I'm going to know that it's not going to produce the presence of God. The only thing that will produce the presence of God, that people that have been in his presence. Okay. So listen to this. He said, now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. How many know we see that? People do not fear God. And they do not have respect for humanity. If they respected human lives, why are we killing each other? Why are we backbiting each other? You know, why are we criticizing each other? Why are we separating from each other? See, when he said that he don't fear God or respect man, we see this in our day and time. But the prophetic gesture that we'll see in the scripture is that was a church that prayed. Amen. And you say, well, it don't say church. How many know the woman is a widow, but the woman is a type of the church? Amen. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to screw up the word of God. I'm going to explain to you here in just a minute. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Now notice what she said, give me legal protection from my opponent. Who is our opponent? Who is your adversary that's going about seeking you like a roaring lion. Notice he said, whom may. He didn't say he could, okay? All right. For a while, he was unwilling. Now, you got to understand something about this widow. Really, what she was saying was, the scripture don't say it was land, but that was a problem going on here. And it was legally her ground or her land. But somebody was trying to undermine her to take the land that was already hers. Number one, because she was a widow, she didn't have no defense of a husband. So in that day and time, when they approached the judge, they were in a tent, but she was on the outside, and she was crying out to the judge because somebody was trying to take their land. You see it a lot in the Westerns. They kill the husband, and then they try to take the land from the widow. But it was already her land. So she said, well, I'm going to go to the judge because the judge is the one that does what? Hand down the sentence. So she went to the one, but how many know it said he was what? An unjust judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't respect man. But this widow in verse 4 says, for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she wear me out. I like it. She wear me out. Now, do you not? Let me give you the original phrase of what he's saying here. How many ever seen a fight and you said, man, he wearing him out? This is what he's saying. If I don't avenge her, if I don't give her her legal grounds here, she might give me a black eye. She might punch me. So because she continually coming to me, she's wearing me out. Now, the unjust judge is not a type of God. He is not a type of God. People say, well, you know, look what God did. Look what God is doing. He's withholding. He's calling back stuff. No, he's not a type of God. He's a type of what? He's a type of what? He's a type of authority, but he's not God. Because my Heavenly Father is not unrighteous. He's just and he's righteous. Amen? So the widow goes on. He says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice? Listen, will not God bring about justice? How many know this is the cry? We want what? Justice. I don't want favor. Okay? I just want justice. And we see a lot of injustice, but for the church, we want what? Justice. Now, we're not going about protesting, burning up other people's places, breaking down other people's business, because how many know that is not God's way? God's way is peace and love and righteousness and justice. See, when I look at that, and it's going on, how many know we can't deny it? It's before us now. But we have to stand for the truth. It is not God's will for us to do anything to harm other people. Whether it's the police, whether it's me or anybody else. God loved humanity, and that's why he sent his son to die on the cross for every one of us. But what we have to understand here is that this woman was wanting justice. Why? Because it was legally hers. And everything Jesus have accomplished for the church is legally ours. And that's why he said that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. But then he went on, he said, but I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And we have to understand, what is keys for? To unlock and lock. To bind and loose. That's what he said. I'm going to give you the keys. Now, with him giving us the keys, let me tell you what needs to happen. God is not going to give you the keys for you to kill and beat up each other. As Pastor Terry has been teaching on the fivefold ministry, so that we will what? Grow up in him. See, the key is this. For God to release keys to you, there's a maturity that needs to take place. Because he's not going to give you the keys if you're going to go out and do damage to his body. And that's what Paul was telling the Galatians. Even though he's a son, he differs nothing from a slave. But he's under tutors and guardians until he grow up and mature, and then he will begin to release things to him that he can handle. And that's what he's saying when he says, I'm going to give you the keys. And the keys, what I believe the keys represent is the knowledge of the kingdom of God, the knowledge of the truth, that we can begin to loose people and begin to bind the enemy. But first of all, we have to learn what's been bound in heaven. Many a times we think, well, you know, why do I have to read the word of God? Why do I have to pray? Why do I have to do this? Do you not understand that if you don't read the word of God, you don't understand what God has loosed and bound? The word of God is not for me to be somebody to preach, well, if you don't read it, you're going to hell. That's not the issue. If I don't read it, I don't know it. And if I don't know it, I can't live it. And if I'm not living it, guess what? I'm just existing. But when I'm living it and walking it out, God releases authority and he gives me revelation to where I can begin to say, okay, this is not of God. In the name of Jesus, I bind this demonic force right now. See, now I'm using my keys. Well, you know, I thought we had to do the Ten Commandments. How many know? Nope, that ain't the keys. Now, I'm not throwing off on the Ten Commandments, but people are going around saying, we got to live the Ten Commandments. How many know the Ten Commandments has been fulfilled with one commandment? And that commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. See, if I love you, I ain't going to steal from you. If I love you, I ain't going to commit adultery with your wife. Come on, let's just be real. If I love you, I ain't going to go around trying to steal. Because I love you. Amen? So we're not talking about, well, you know, he said keep the... No, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. A government that is ruled by God. The way that God does things. The way God operates. And I want to know the way God operates is not the way the world operates. Amen. We do it God's way. This is why it's so, people are so blown out of their mind when you can love them in spite of. You know, you go to love people now, you know the first thing they say, what you want. What you want. I just won't love you. I just won't love you. What you won't love me for? Did you not know you God's creation? Amen. Jesus Christ died for you so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. Amen. See, now it's a different spin on it. Why? Because now I'm not after anything. I'm giving something. And how many know love gives? Let me get back on this, okay? So, He goes on to say, you know, if we don't pray, we will faint. And faint means to what? Lose conscious. If we don't pray, we will faint. It's simply as this. The word faint describes a believer who loses heart and gets so discouraged that he or she wants to quit. Now, that's the devil's aim. See, begin to rest in God. Set some time aside and begin to rest in God. Because what the enemy wants to do, he's wanting to produce fear, and he's wanting us to be so anxious and full of anxiety that we become depressed, that we become discouraged, to where we say, you know, I'm just going to quit. But don't you dare quit. Because God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? There are great things ahead for the church. We're not losing. We're winners. Don't you give up. Amen. You might say, well, I'm just discouraged. Get around some strong saints and begin to pour out your heart to them and begin to talk to them and let them begin to pray for you and encourage you. You know why? Because then you'll begin to see the body at work. But as long as we are biting each other and devouring each other, the enemy is set back and he's just got his arms folded and he said, yeah, just look at them now, boys. But see, we gotta pray, church. We got to pray. You say, well, how? I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? Now, I know you're laughing, but do you know how to talk? Most of us do. It's that simple. But I can't see him. I can't feel him. It's called faith. You believe and trust him and watch what he do for you. I'm telling you, we're in a time the enemy is releasing things in the earth and we're trying to attack him in the same way we used to. Ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. So we got to get in our prayer closet and begin to let God begin to give us a download from heaven so that we will begin to say, okay, I understand now what you're saying, Father. See, that's what Jesus taught the disciples. He said, when you pray, enter into your closet or into your inner room and shut the door. What we need to do is shut the door on some of this negativity that's spearing out through the news and meter and all that. Shut the door on it and get in your prayer room and begin to cry out to God. Begin to cry out to him. Begin to take it to him. God, you know what's going to happen down the road. I don't know, but you know. And when we begin to pray and seek God's face, I mean, you know, God has promised us that he will hear us. See, when we pray according to his will, this is a confidence that we have in him that he hear us. What is his will? His word is his will. When we pray in alignment with the scriptures, heaven begins to take notice. But as we in our closet crying and hollering, oh, they're doing this to me, Lord. Oh, they're doing it. He already know. Won't you ask God, what do I need to do here? What is the strategy that you want me to have? See, that's what the enemy don't want us to get in the presence of God. You know why he don't want us to get in the presence of God? Because God will start giving you downloads. He'll start giving you wisdom. He'll start giving you revelation. He'll start giving you ideas that you can't come up with on your own. See, this widow, she was determined. Look, this is mine, and I'm holding on to it. Now, judge, you need to do something. These boys trying to take my land. So you need to come, and you need to do something. And guess what? The judge said, now, look, just because she keep coming to me, I mean, you know, we ain't coming to God begging God. We just coming to him to acknowledge him. See, this is what we got to get in mind. Our God is greater than anything that you will ever face in life. See, many of the times we say, well, you know, I want to know the God of John. No, you don't need to know John. You need to know the God that John serves. See, it's not about me. It's about him. And many a times we want to pattern after other people and we see what God is doing in their lives, but it's the God that they're serving that we want. Amen. I don't want the personality. I want the God. Teach me how you got in touch with God. Martha, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to intervene. Teach me how to break through the heavens. Teach me how to persevere. Teach me how to continue on. I don't feel God. I don't understand God. What do I do? Keep on praying. Keep on persevering. Keep on being persistent. Don't give up. You're saying, well, what if I go to him and tell him again? How many know that we have swallowed so many lies about God to where we believe the lie more than we believe the truth? Yeah. Yeah. The Bible said the ears of the Lord are open to the cry of the righteous. You say, well, I don't want to wear God out. Let me just let you in on this. 1 second. You can't exhaust God. He don't get tired. He don't get weary. And he don't sleep. He's always waiting for that child of God to come and get on his lap and pour out their cares to him because he cares for them. But the enemy wants, you know, you're going to God too much. You know, that's enough. How many know that's religion? Religion will tell you that. But relationship says, no, I got to get there. I got to get there. Okay. Got about 5 minutes here. Listen to this, okay. It seemed like, you know, that this woman was losing everything. But by her continually. Verse 7 says, now, will not God bring about justice for his elect or his chosen? Say, I'm chosen. If you're born again, he said, I have chosen. You did not choose me, but I chose you. See, he's chosen us. We're his elect, okay? Matthew says, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, well, you're saying God ain't doing nothing. Well, maybe you ain't praying. Maybe you're not talking to him. Well, he's not rewarding me. No, maybe you're not spending time with him to pray and talk to him. He will reward you. Sometimes God rewards us and we don't even realize he's did it. You look back and you wonder, I thought I was going to lose my mind. Oh, I got peace here. How did that happen? It's a peace that surpasses our understanding. I need to be crying here. Why do I have so much joy? Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know? That's what he said. He said, look, you're going to have joy when you start seeing answers to prayer. Joy is in you. But see, how many know joy is part of the Spirit? So it's in you. You don't lose it. It's in you. But I mean, you know, sometimes we don't benefit from that joy. But when God began to answer prayer, I mean, you know, you start getting bubbly and ain't nobody handed you a $100 bill. Ain't nobody told you some good news. You just know that you know that you know. Just riding down the road and you just get happy. You know what that is? That's the joy of the Lord. See, God want to refresh us. But so many times we're distracted with what's going on, and that's the device of the enemy, is to keep the church distracted. Keep us so distracted and get us so tired to where we say, I'm just ready to go to sleep, forget this stuff. But take time to rest, pull away, clear your mind, get your armor on. And then go back out and execute what God has put in you. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit with what he's saying. And watch what God does. He will blow our minds. You'll say, man, this is easy compared to what I thought it was going to be. You know why? Because God is clearing the path. He's saying, just follow me. Just follow me. And God has taken us right to the destination where he wants us to be. But see, it's not going to come, you know, without a little friction going on. So don't let the friction get you troubled. Don't let trouble get in your way. Amen. Sometimes you got to pray sometimes. Sometimes you got to sing. Sometimes you got to hum. You got to encourage yourself. Sometimes you got to pick yourself up and say, hey, God is on the inside of me. So I'm moving forth with him. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Ephesians 2 and 18. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Ephesians 3 and 7. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession or our profession. Say the same thing that God is saying about you. Why? Because he's the high priest, amen, that's going to take it before God. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer, amen, and he's pleading our case. He's interceding for us, and he's saying that hold fast to your confession. Say what God is saying about you. That's the confession. Quit confessing, well, I'm broken, busted, and disgusted. I never amount to anything. I never be anything. I never get out of this. How many know that's the wrong confession? You need to say, I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a son of God, amen. And guess what? I have an inheritance in the kingdom, and my father is rich, amen. He owns the cows on the hill, amen. He's so great, amen, to where he can just rain down the money if he need to. Somebody put some money away in a bag, and a dog bought the bag, got the bag, went and grabbed the bag and took off running, and it landed in John Mitchell's backyard. Woo, glory. That's the kind of God I serve. Amen. He will do it. He is faithful to his people. As long as ain't no name, I know somebody in that bag, just the money. And, you know, integrity say if it's somebody's name on it, oh, that's their name. We got to give it back, honey. So, Lord, don't let nothing be in that bag but money. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is a confidence. John 5:14. This is a confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us in whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked for him. Catch this. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. To him who knocks, the door will be open. When we align ourselves with God's word, the doors will begin to open. And you'll begin to have a, not just a test, but a testimony. How I didn't have, but God. Hallelujah. Verse 8, this is a closing point. Verse 8, and I tell you that will he bring about justice for them quickly? However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find vitality, faithfulness, loyal to his word and his will? Will I find those people that are still trusting me, holding on to me, believing in me, trusting me? Am I going to find those people on the earth? The answer is yes and amen. God bless you.
Think it's there. It is. Thank you, brother. That was awesome.
Praise God.
Very much in need. real quick, this passage is about a type of prayer, and there's about five or six different types of prayer, but this one talks about petition. The prayer of petition is going to God for what already belongs to you. Either someone's after it, or someone's stolen it, or want to steal it. So the things that's been stolen, if something's been taken from you that was rightfully yours, stand to your feet. Something's been taken from you that was rightfully yours. This is the petition. Now, is the, with this word coming forth, God is releasing the freshness of that word and the revelation of that word for all of you that are standing. Now, if you've got something that you have and somebody's after it, or the enemy's after that, I want you to stand up. There you go. Okay. So let's activate, let's walk out, let's hear the word, and let's be doers of the word, and not be afraid to ask God and make the petition to God, because he already knows, but we bring the petition to him saying, Lord, this and this and this and this and this was mine, and the enemy has taken it, and I'm wanting it back. It's legally, see, he used the term legally. It was a legal thing that needed to be done. So it was given to you. God's given it to you. And the enemy's either taking it or after it. So now's when you make your petition to God saying, if the enemy's after it, ask God to maintain that for you. So go ahead and do that. If the enemy's after something that God's given you, you already have it, and the enemy, you know the enemy would like nothing better than to take it away from. Go ahead and petition God, because you have legal right. Listen to that. You have a legal right for his protection over it. So go ahead and, yes, come on. Yeah, come on.
Hadn't been able to sleep. And I heard God said, he gives his beloved rest. So if that's you, that you hadn't been able to sleep, if you hadn't been able to rest at night, you know, that it rest belongs to you. You know, so take it back. Let the enemy know, no, you're not going to interfere. You're not going to stop me from resting. God is restoring. That peace is going to come up, and you're going to begin to rest. You know, that's what I hear. You know, I believe I hear the Spirit say that there are some that are not resting. There are some that physically you are not resting because of what's going on in this world. But God says that he gives his beloved rest. Amen. And sleep should be your sleep. Amen. So if that's you, receive it. If it's not, you know, I just...
No, if that's you, raise both hands. I want my sleep back. All right, go ahead and tell him, I want my sleep back. Go ahead. Lord, I'm coming to you. I want my sleep back. Amen. I want my sleep back. That's good. Now, if the enemy's after something, go ahead and make the petition to God. God, this is, you don't have to say it out loud. Name the thing that the enemy's after, and just say, he can't have it. Lord, he can't have it. I'm taking a stand. He can't have it. You gave it to me. It's rightfully mine. He can't have it. Go ahead and do that.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, here's the next one. You've already, the enemy has taken something. He's stolen something from you. He's taken it. So this is the petition you make before God, and then you tell God, God, it was mine. You gave it to me, and I want it back. Go ahead and do that. I want it back. Name it to him. Name it, whatever it was. I want it back. He is the righteous judge. He is the king. And you go to him and say, Lord, make the enemy pay sevenfold.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Make him regret that he ever took from your child. Everybody good?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Give him praise for answering Amen. Your prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.